Good morning from WKYT News. I'm Bill Bryant, and we welcome you to Kentucky Newsmakers. Later, Divine Karama will join us and update us on Juan Lexington, and we also hear about his first book and his 20-year career as a recording artist. That's in a few minutes. But first, Lexington's Emergency Management Director is joining us after a week that has proved the importance of effective response and training. A very tough situation in the city. The cleanup continues. The damage assessments are still being added up from last Tuesday's destructive storms and power outages. It was the first major test for Lexington's Emergency Management Director, Rob Larkin, who spent 32 years as a first responder before taking the reins at Emergency Management just a few months ago. He's also a retired Brigadier General with the Kentucky National Guard with a considerable experience there. Welcome, Director and General Larkin. We appreciate very much you coming in today.
Bill, good to be here with you.
First of all, we want to get to know you a little bit and what your plans are, but let's talk about this week. You've just been on the job a little over 90 days, right? And we have a climbing number of confirmed tornadoes across Kentucky. We know that in Lexington there were wind speeds of 100 miles per hour or so on the UK campus. Lexington was hit very hard. When did you know the city was dealing with a serious situation?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we track things well in advance. So keeping up with weather as one of our primary risks and one of our primary threats here in Lexington, we were tracking this way out. So probably 5 days prior to, and then as the meteorologists continue to develop, we continue to track and then start making appropriate plans and responses for it.
And at some point it's go time. And when did you know that on Tuesday?
About 9:17, yeah. When the lights flickered in the Emergency Operations Center and the Public Safety Operations Center, and we went to generator power. So we knew it was real then.
Are you generally pleased with the response from the city agencies, obviously the first responders, the police and the fire, all of the paramedics running out there, utility companies? I mean, it really does take a lot of coordination.
It certainly does. And understand that I am part of that public safety team along with police and fire and corrections and E911. And really, in an emergency like this, truly, it is a whole of government approach. So streets and roads, our 311 call center, which I guess is part of the mayor's office itself, parks contributes. Pretty much everybody within the government comes together, specifically at the Emergency Operations Center when it's activated, and we go to work. We start fixing problems.
Who is making the decisions like, let's close the parks, let's move certain assets to certain areas and so on?
Directors and commissioners certainly do fall into that, but a lot of that is, we do a lot of that at the Emergency Operations Center as well, and there's standard operating procedures for just about everything we do.
How do you think we did this week, and how much is ahead?
You know, so far it's been fantastic. A lot of work, a lot of pre-planning for this, and a lot of individual effort from the entire public safety team, as well as everybody else within LFUCG. The streets and roads guys are still out there now, and I say guys and gals, but they're out there clearing streets and cutting up a whole lot of trees.
And through Sunday, as this program is running, people could take some of their, some of the things that have fallen, the tree limbs and
right.
So on, to landfills. And we have those specific locations, a couple of them, right?
Right. So, really out of Hedger Lane at the Haley Pike landfill, and on Old Frankfort Pike, what they call the training pad out there. It's between the police roll call station and the fire training academy.
After that, people can do what? Put it on the curb?
They can still continue to put it on the curb, absolutely. It just follow the recommendations of solid waste.
People are being urged to document their damages, even if they have the ability to pay for it or they will get insurance coverage. The state, the city, the county, people need to know. Right,
right. That helps us assess the damage. That'll help kind of forensically to see how this storm went through. And it also provides a lot of information to the state on how this happened and the amount of damages and the cost associated with it that were incurred in Fayette County.
Do you now go back and assess the response, how things went, and is it informing your decisions going forward about how you plan for the next event?
We do after-action reviews every time we have a significant incident like this. We continually learn from previous incidents, and we try to make things better for the next. And understand, things change. Population changes, our demographics change, urban service area changes, population changes, resource changes. So, I mean, yeah, we constantly look for that next one.
The way we communicate changes too. And, you know, should people rely on outdoor sirens, their phones, local media, all of the above? What is the best way to keep yourself in the loop, especially when you know there's something approaching?
I would tell everyone in Fayette County, in Lexington, to sign up for Lex Alerts, which generates a text, an email, a call, one of the three, all three, however you would like it, that'll keep you up to date on warnings and watches and any other type of important public safety information that we put out. Sirens, obviously, they're only good for a certain range. And if you look at all Fayette County, 286 square miles or so, that would take an incredible amount of sirens. So we try to strategically place those sirens where people will be outside. And usually that's associated with the parks and that type of thing. We do have plans to expand those out a good bit, but again, those are people that are unprotected. They might be just enjoying the day, might not have their phone with them, might not have a radio with them, like a weather radio or anything like that with them, and that provides them a little bit of coverage.
In other words, consider that a backup, not the primary way to track a situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You were with the fire department for decades, a firefighter and a paramedic. You rose through the ranks in the National Guard. What drew you to this job, to lead emergency management?
Well, you know, I thought I had a few more good years left in me. I'm not an emergency manager by trade. I tell people that all the time. But certainly a career as a paramedic, as a hazardous materials specialist, as a soldier and a leader within the Kentucky Army National Guard, even education. I've got a bachelor's degree in agriculture and a master's in public health and one in strategic studies. All that kind of meshes together with just a whole lot of experience in different elements of training and education.
You were all over the city as a firefighter, mm-hmm. And paramedic. You told me you were in two or three different locations over the
sure.
years. Yeah.
Yeah. I've spent years as a captain on Engine 2 up on the north side, which is now over on Eastland. And then I also spent a significant amount of time on campus on Engine 6 and EC-7. So got to see a good bit of the city and then spent a lot of time in special operations. So not just here in Lexington, but also working with you know, our neighboring counties and throughout the region. So,
and with the National Guard, I know you had a lot of assignments over the years, more than 30 years with the Guard, but in your most recent years, you were involved in the pandemic response and in some of those natural disasters we had early this decade.
In one capacity or another, absolutely. So a lot of the COVID response, especially in the first days, the first months during that first year, flew out to Mayfield for that terrible tornado. Worked both kind of fire department and National Guard with the Eastern Kentucky floods and a couple of bouts of civil disturbance. Going back over the years, you know, a lot of state active duties, what we call it in the National Guard, and then Hurricane Katrina response all those years ago.
All of that adds up. I mean, it's
it
there.
Does.
So when you're in a situation, you have a lot of experience to call on.
A whole lot of recognition, prime decision making, yes.
As we go forward in the spring severe weather season, what should people at home do to prepare for certainly severe weather or any other natural disaster that could come along?
So we kind of say in the business, the first 72 is on you. So have an idea. If I lost power for 72 hours, what would I do? What preparations would I have to make it through that 72 hours without power? What if you had to be out of your house for a couple of 3 days? Do you have the necessary items on hand? Food, water. So I just tell people to have a plan for that type of thing. Be aware of what's coming down the pike. Again, I consider weather to be, you know, our major threat here in Lexington, and then make preparations accordingly.
Different people have different needs. Seniors may need a more specific plan, right? People will want to think about their pets. As you urge people to make a plan, what should they consider?
Well, also consider your pets. Also consider any type of special considerations or needs that you might have as an individual, and those of your family. All those have to be taken into account. And we have a lot of information on BeReadyLexington.com that can help form those and help you make those plans.
We're going to put that website up, and there it is, BeReadyLexington.com.
That's correct.
What will people find there?
Just a lot of preparation type information, a lot of things just to know about the hazards that could be encountered here in Lexington. And again, you can sign up for Lex Alerts and that type of thing.
I looked at that site. You even urge people who are hosting family gatherings or get-togethers in the summer to also be aware that whoever's organizing that should have a plan of action.
We do. We highly encourage that. And a lot of times we can also help with that planning. We have a checklist that if they contact us at emergency management, just some things to think about as well.
How important in a situation when things are going on is it to remain calm, and how relieved are you if somebody does have a plan? How relieved can they be by the fact that they're prepared for an unexpected situation?
Well, I think it certainly provides you with a little bit of confidence. And go back to my military days. We might go out on what we think to be a four-hour mission, or an 8-hour mission, or a 12-hour mission, or a one-day mission. You always pack for three. Always pack for three. If you're going out for a week, you pack for 10. Be prepared for it.
For many years, the Bluegrass Army Depot had to be on the radar here in Lexington, Fayette County. The chemical agents there have now been destroyed. Does that change anything about regional planning for disaster?
So a lot of that was obviously centered around the chemical warfare agents that they had there. And the Department of the Army, FEMA, they put a whole lot of money into that 10-county area, of which Fayette County is one of them. So that funding is obviously going away. So I think the opportunity exists for us to be able to practice different type of things outside of the chemical realm. But we need to put in place where we can at least have an annual exercise. Community exercise, because we learned a whole lot of great lessons from the CSEP program.
We know also, there's an earthquake threat in Kentucky.
It is.
There's significant preparation at the state level for that. Does Lexington plan for a situation like that?
It is not as high a threat as I would say the weather. Obviously, we do have, and the state does have, plans for Lexington. Earthquakes can't happen. Where I grew up in Maysville, Kentucky, I think it was back in the early 80s, I think I was about 16, we had a little bit of a rumble there, nothing too serious. But again, preparation, that type of information will be covered in the BeReadyLexington.com.
As you look back at this week, look ahead to what's ahead in cleaning up from this particular event that has come through. Where are we, and how would you describe everything's been going?
A lot of recovery for some of the people affected, damage to homes. I mean, some of them practically destroyed. It's obviously going to be months and months. We've got about 30 days that we really need to kind of assess everything we need and get that turned in to Kentucky Emergency Management, and we'll just go on from there. Some people, hardly any damage whatsoever, some fairly significant.
And in some cases, it'll take a while.
It will take a while.
Because all of the insurance and all that takes a while to work through the process,
It certainly does. Yeah. I mean, it could take some individuals a year or two to get back.
General, thank you so much for coming by in the middle of a busy week. We appreciate it very much.
It has been a busy week, but happy to be here.
All right, thank you. We're coming back in just a moment. Divine Karama joins us from One Lexington. He also talk about his new book, about his career and how he got started in community action in the area. We're back on Kentucky Newsmakers in a moment. Welcome back to Kentucky Newsmakers from WKYT. Divine Karama heads up One Lexington, an initiative within the mayor's office that works to reduce gun violence and provide opportunities and hope for young people. But Karama is also an accomplished hip-hop artist and Emmy Award winner who is celebrating 20 years as a creator. On top of that, he hosts an annual coat drive and other events throughout the year. And Divine recently released a new book called Pages Worth of Rhymes, and he's producing a new album. But if you think he stays in motion, Karama is often also very reflective about how the times have changed and where things are going and what's gone wrong. So Divine Karama is joining us here on Kentucky Newsmakers again. We appreciate you coming.
Hey, no problem. Good to see you again.
First of all, you know, you always want to be cautious when you note a downward trend in violence in the city, but we seem to be seeing that. Things seem to have calmed down somewhat.
They seem to. I think a lot of that is obviously just building an infrastructure from the One Lexington and city side, something that we've never had. And so that's going to take some time. You're not going to do that overnight. But I think the special sauce for Lexington has been just the way the community's coming together. There's a lot of individuals who may not be on the news program with you talking about gun violence in the community that are doing impactful work. We're getting buy-in from all different sectors, faith community, school system, nonprofits. And so I think One Lexington has just been blessed to kind of play a central role in coordinating some of those different sectors. But this truly is a citywide effort, and I think we're yielding some positive results. But as you said, you know, the fight doesn't stop.
How have you managed to bring some people on board who were not active before in trying to help in this regard?
Yeah, I think part of it is leveraging kind of the prestige of the mayor's office. But then also it was reestablishing that trust, because there's also been a trust gap between city government, public safety, and some of these underserved communities. With me being from those communities, with me understanding what a lot of these families are going through, being a single parent once upon a time, making my own mistakes, I've been able to reestablish that trust and kind of bridge that gap. There's still more work to be done, but I think that's the part of it. You have to reestablish that trust, and you got to use individuals who have that either lived experience or who have been affected directly or indirectly with the issues that you are trying to address.
You schedule a lot of events, obviously, and you give talks and you do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But then in this kind of job and work, things come up as well. We find you responding a lot of times, even with first responders.
Yes. We'll actually be in a neighborhood tomorrow. Just 3 days ago, we were in a different neighborhood, both being riddled by gunfire. No one was injured, so oftentimes those incidents may or may not make the news, but that's still a community, a family that is affected. And so we go out and we respond. We connect them with mental health resources. We try to help them repair their home and just repair their normalcy, their life. And so there is quite a bit of work that is front lines, on the ground, and behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about. We like to protect those that we serve, but we want the community to know that there's a lot of people out there on the front lines doing this work every day.
Divine, how do you take the time or make the time to do the important work you're focused on with One Lexington and at the same time continue the career that brought you to the stage?
Yeah, I think for me, and a lot of people ask me that, but I think for me, God has put me in a position in my life where so much of what I do all kind of coexist. My music is less about trying to get fame or make it somewhere with music, but now it is kind of used to accentuate the work. It is part of the mission to reach these young people, galvanize people, and bring them together. And so for me, it doesn't feel like a stretch. I don't feel stretched because it all feels like it's part of this bigger mission to make our city better.
This is an important anniversary for your work, right?
Yeah.
Again, you see this opportunity to make your art form inclusive of other elements in your life, as you're saying.
Definitely, because I think growing up as a younger artist, it was about me, it was about my trials and tribulations, my experiences, what I was going through. But as I've aged and now celebrate my 20th year as an artist, the music has now become a voice for the most underserved. So how can I speak to and for those very people that we serve, whether through a coat drive or through One Lexington? And so it's definitely a part of a bigger mission for me.
Did you expect this detour where you are doing these important key things in the community, or did you pursue it? I mean, when you were making the music and considering whether you wanted to hit the big time or whatever.
Yeah. I think for me, no. I never really saw myself doing any of the stuff I was doing early on. I thought the music would be enough to just speak about what our community's going through, speak about what I went through, and that would be my voice. But you know, they say if you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans, right? And so I think for me, even though music is my love and my passion, there was more that God wanted me to do. And so I think music was just kind of the beginning steps to take me where, apparently, where God wants me to be.
You're out with your first book. What will readers find in the pages full of rhymes?
Yes, pages full of rhymes. People will learn about my introduction to hip-hop culture. The true origins, which what we see on the mainstream today is not what the true origins are.
Give us a hint how you did get started.
Yeah, so for me, it was, it's funny that you asked because it's in the book. For me, it was hearing my older brother's tapes and just wondering, what is this, right? It was this energetic art form that made you want to get up and dance, but also made you want to speak. And so for me, it was Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, LL Cool J was my first introduction. But then being such a shy kid in school and in my neighborhood, hip hop was a platform to help me cultivate my voice, I think.
Yeah. Are there some original rhymes in this book?
Or? All of them.
Yeah.
100%. Over 100 rhymes from my 20-year career. It even has a rhyme that dates back about 26 years that has the first rhyme that I ever wrote. And these are verses from songs that have been released and been out. And I feel like it tells my story as not just an artist, but as a man, as a father, my walk in faith. And so it really tells people my story.
What was the process like for you to write this book? Go and dig up these old rhymes and tell the story.
It was sometimes in doing that, because 80% of the book was already written, right? Because these are verses from my discography. But going back, it really kind of opened my eyes to how far God has brought me and made me remember some of the challenges and missteps and things that I endured over the years reading these old rhymes, because I always wanted to keep it real. You know, that's the first rule in hip hop. And so everything I wrote, I wanted it to be authentic to where I was at that moment.
You also have a new album in the works, right? And it's
kind
of part of a series
it
that
is.
You've been doing.
Yeah. King Tucky 4, that series started in 2016.
King Tucky.
Yeah. Little twist on Kentucky, but also encouraging young people to be kings and queens and whatever they do. That started in 2016, and so got a few surprises on this album, so I'm hoping to release that before the end of the year.
If people are interested, you also have a couple of events coming up, right?
We do. So at Josabeth Booksellers, April 14th will be a book signing. This will be our second book signing, and so people can come out, purchase a copy of the book, get a signed copy. But I'll also be doing performances and readings directly from the book in real time, and we'll have a visual artist there as well doing some graffiti to kind of give it that hip-hop feel. And so we would love people to come out. It's a free event. Even if you just want to come out and listen, we encourage you to come.
What do people say to you about your life's work and your musical work?
I think a lot of people, their first time getting to know me has been in this position. And so I think a lot of people are learning more and more about my story. And I think this book has helped, show them where I come from, what has led to my passion for community. You can find it in my lyrics in this book. And so it's been a great opportunity to kind of reintroduce myself, but introduce myself and my full story to people that might not know me.
Where do you go from here? Do you know?
Wherever God takes me. I told you, Bill, I'm not a person that has a lot of plans. Just I'm happy where I'm at. I think I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do. But for what is next, that's all up to Him. I try to keep my ear to His voice, but I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now, I think.
Divine Karamas, the new book is pages full of rhymes. He'll have some signings coming up, as he mentioned. And, of course, he continues his work with One Lexington. Thanks for coming in today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Stay with us. We'll wrap up Kentucky Newsmakers in just a moment. Hope you'll stay with WKYT for all the latest. Kelsey Soto will have your news this evening. Of course, we'll have a coverage of the eclipse on Monday. We'll see how that all goes. And among our scheduled guests next week on Kentucky Newsmakers, Eddie Campbell, the president of the Kentucky Education Association. And we thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Kentucky Newsmakers, and hope you make it a good week ahead.